Chapter 3. Dr. Jekyll at Ease. 2 weeks later, by excellent good fortune, the doctor invited 5 or 6 old friends to his house for dinner. Mr. Utterson remained behind after the others had left, as he often did. Where Mr. Utterson was liked, he was liked well. Hosts loved to keep the dry lawyer when the other more talkative guests were on their way out. To this rule, Dr. Jekyll was no exception. He now sat on the opposite side of the fire from Mr. Utterson. His face was friendly and kind, and you could see by his looks that he had a sincere and warm affection for Mr. Utterson. "I have been wanting to speak to you, Jekyll," began the latter. "You know that will of yours?" Anyone listening might have thought the topic was impolite, but the doctor carried it off happily. "My poor Utterson," said he, "you are unfortunate to have me as a client. I never saw a man so distressed as you were by my will." He went on, "Except Lanyon, he was just as distressed by what he saw as errors in my scientific studies. Oh, I know he's an excellent fellow, you needn't frown, and I always mean to see more of him, but I was never more disappointed in any man than in Lanyon." "You know I never approved of it," pursued Mr. Utterson, ignoring Jekyll's attempt to change the subject. "My will? Yes, certainly, I know that," said the doctor, a bit sharply. "You have told me so." "Well, I tell you so again," continued the lawyer. "I have been learning something of young Hyde." The large, handsome face of Dr. Jekyll grew pale to the very lips, and there came a blackness about his eyes. "I do not care to hear more," said he. "This is a matter I thought we had agreed to drop." "What I heard was abominable," said Utterson. "It can make no change. You do not understand my position," returned the doctor. "I am painfully situated, Utterson. My position is a very strange one. It is one of those problems that cannot be solved by talking." "Jekyll," said Mr. Utterson, "you know me. I am a man to be trusted. Come clean with what is going on, and I will see what I can do to get you out of it." "My good Utterson," said the doctor, "this is very good of you. This is downright good of you, and I cannot find words to thank you. I believe you fully. I would trust you before any man alive, indeed before myself, if I could make the choice. But it isn't what you think. Do not worry, for it is not as bad as you think. And just to put your good heart at rest, I will tell you one thing. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. I swear to it, and I thank you again and again. But, please don't take this the wrong way, this is a private matter. I beg you to let it sleep." Mr. Utterson reflected a little, looking in the fire. "I have no doubt you are perfectly right," he said at last, getting to his feet. "Well, but since we are on the subject, and for the last time, I hope," continued the doctor, "there is one point I would like you to understand. I have really a very great interest in poor Hyde. I know you have seen him, he told me so, and I fear he was impolite. But I do sincerely take a very great interest in that young man. If I am taken away, Utterson, I wish you to promise me that you will help him and get his rights for him. I think you would if you knew all, and it would be a weight off my mind if you would promise." "I can't pretend that I shall ever like him," said the lawyer. "I don't ask that," begged Dr. Jekyll, laying his hand upon the other's arm. "I only ask for justice. I only ask you to help him for my sake when I am no longer here." Mr. Utterson sighed. "Well, I promise."